Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, those of you who have cable network, you have a channel on there called the TLC Network. And part of the TLC Network, there's a program which is called What Not to Wear. And they have a couple fashionistas. One is Stacy London. The other one is Clinton Kelly, who invite guests on their show who have been nominated by their families because they are sloppy dressers. And they tell them, we'll give you $5,000 for a brand new wardrobe. The only catch is, you have to agree to go through all of your clothes and get rid of any outfits or clothing items that Stacy and Clinton don't think muster up. And so therefore what follows is a hilarious show of people putting on the most ridiculous outfits and then Stacy and Clinton kind of scrutinizing them as they stand in front of the mirror. To me, it's kind of funny to see the kind of ridiculous things people wear out in public and actually think they look good. Well, the bottom line of it is, with that idea of what not to wear in mind, I want you to listen again to just these few verses from today's epistle lesson, as by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul writes to the Christians that attended the church in Ephesus with these words. You must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their minds, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greed, to practice every kind of impurity, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have learned about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. Now here's what I want to listen to. To put off the old self, which belongs to the former matter of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. I want you just to focus and think about for a moment that idea of putting off your old self. The Greek takes on the understanding of stripping away or removing, and it really connects to clothing. Like if a shirt's dirty, you strip it away and you put on a clean one. Well, in this context, writing to the church, it's really addressing the sinful thoughts, the sinful words, and the sinful deeds that Christians practice, although they are to be a part of the body of Christ, at times they don't act like it. And they're being challenged to strip away those sins. Now, in this context, Paul outlines, I think, 11 or 12 different sins, ranging from, what were they? Lying, anger, stealing, corrupting talk, bitterness, wrath, clamor, slander, and malice, just to name a few. And then Paul goes on to challenge Christians to begin to strip away those sinful way of lives and to put on the new man, live according to the calling that you've had in, that you have in Christ. Now back to what not to wear. To me, it's hilarious sometimes where people stand in front of the mirror in the most hideous outfits you've ever seen and begin to defend why they own them. They would ask them, Clinton would say, well, why are you keeping this your wardrobe? Well, my mother gave it to me. You were 12 years old. You can get rid of it. Or someone says, why are you wearing this outfit? It seems to be revealing just a little bit more than our imaginations even need to acquire. Well, because I think it looks good on me. Or this brings out my eyes, or whatever it may be. And you're sitting there thinking to yourself, you go out in public in that? You actually wear that out in front of other people. Now, with that said, look in the mirror of God's law. I must say, when I look in the mirror of God's law, I can easily think of times in my life where my conduct, my words, and certainly my thoughts were not indicative of the life that I've been called to live in Christ as His disciple. And I say that because I'm pretty sure it applies to all of us here, right? If my recollection is correct, we're all cut from the same fabric. We are our sinners. And if you don't see that in yourself, perhaps you have a problem with short-term memory or the fact you just are lying to yourself. See, I'm confident you and I are all sinners. There are times in your life when you neglect to live as a disciple of Christ that you have been called to live in the things that you do. in the things that you say, and certainly in the things that you think. And how do I know? Because the writer of the text for the day wrote this about himself in Romans chapter 7. Paul writes, "The good that I want to do, I do not do. But I find in myself the very evil things I do not want to do." See, Paul confessed that he was a sinner, and that in his life there were things in his life that needed to be stripped away. And that's the challenge that we have today in the epistle lesson. Since we all have behaviors and we speak at times as though we are not the chosen and transformed people of God by the things we say, do, and think, the exhortation that Paul has to the church in Ephesus applies to Emmanuel just as well. In fact, it applies to each and every one of us. We are challenged to strip off the old man, to strip off all those things in our life that are corrupting us. We can go back to the list that Paul had. We can talk about stealing and corrupting thoughts and bitterness and wrath and lying and anger, clamor and slander and malice, and I'll add some more, gossip and hatred, and all those things are a part of the sinful world in which we live in. And then we're supposed to put on the new man. Paul, in other areas of Scripture, begins to point out this whole idea of sin that dwells within us. He refers to it here as the old man. Elsewhere, he refers to it as the sinful human nature. And still elsewhere, it's as the in the flesh. In Romans 13, he calls about laying aside the old man, putting to death the deeds of the body. And then finally, he says, it's corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. No matter what form it takes, we all have it. We're all born in the world as sinful and unclean, all enemies of God. And even after we pass through the waters of holy baptism or incorporated into the family of God, we still at times act as if we're not. But then we'll self-justify too. Look at the outfit I have on. See, my mother gave it to me, or in my case, my dad, because that's who sin comes through, the seed of the father. But it looks good, it looks good, it brings out the color of my eyes. We do that with sin as well. We begin to say things like, well, pastor, it's only human. See, sin is just natural. In fact, I was born this way, and there's nothing I can do about it. And so therefore, am I really wrong? Or we can flip over to the other side and says, you know what, pastor, sin, it's my right. I have the right to be happy, the right to experience pleasure. It doesn't matter what it is. I have the right to feel good about myself in spite of what my behavior might be. And still there's other times when we'll look at our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, and we'll think to ourselves, you know what, pastor, I'll agree with you. I'll give it to you. I'm a sinner, but I'm not as bad as they are. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't done anything real corrupting and real wrong. It's not kosher, I know, but the reality is it could be a lot worse. You know, one of the things I love about confirmation is as we start looking at the Ten Commandments, I like to ask the kids, what commandments can you keep? And so we'll look to the commandments and we'll go, well, you know, the Lord your God above all things, and they struggle with that one. You know, misusing God's name. We'll get to the fifth commandment, which you shall not murder. They all check it. Every single one will check. I've never murdered anybody, pastor. And then I'll remind them from 1 John that hate is murder. And so therefore, you've broken the fifth commandment. They go, you got me, pastor. I guess I'm guilty of them all. Now, many of you will recall the transition that takes place in the life of your toddler. It's going from the expense of diapers to no diapers. And having boys, for us, it was a great transition because I recall that I dropped a Cheerio in the toilet and have them hit it with their number one. And you give them compliments and encourage them, and it's a big deal. And you know, wow, you went to the bathroom. This is awesome. Well, that works really great. But because my older son's not here, I'll tell you about him. He refused to get out of diapers. And in fact, my wife and I kind of got to the point where it's like, as long as it's not a number two and it's only a number one, he's going to wear it. and wear it he did, until it begged so low it was about to his knees, and it was so saturated with urine that he just blissfully ran around the house, didn't care, didn't worry about it. Even though he stunk to high heaven, it was hard to get him to go to the bathroom and the toilet. But finally, well, he's almost 26, he does now. Praise be to Jesus. And when he hears this, he's going to kill me. My point is this, is that sometimes we live in a world as if our sin really doesn't matter. No, we'll cling to our old sinful behaviors as if, you know, Pastor, it's not a big deal. Even though we stink in sin, we continue to embrace it as if it's okay. God's word this morning is challenging each and every one of us to examine our life in light of God's word. And it challenges you to look in the mirror of God's law, and you know that sin that you really struggle with. And I can list off 100 of them, but you know what it is. And he says, it's not indicative of who you are in Christ. It doesn't reflect your relationship with him. In fact, it's alien to you. You need to remove it. Well, in the early church, candidates for baptism were stripped naked. And then they were baptized, and then they were clothed in a white robe. This practice depicted the removal of the sinful nature and the reclothing of people in the righteousness of Christ through the waters of holy baptism. And it's reflected in Scripture. For example, in Galatians 3 it says, "For as many as you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." In Revelation 7 it says, "One of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?' I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation.'" Get this. "They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." I know what you're thinking. Pastor's advocating bringing back naked baptisms. No, I'm not. But that idea of being stripped naked before God and have our sins washed away, we still see some remnants of that ancient practice in the church today as infants are brought forward in a white robe. It's that whiteness of Christ, that righteousness that covers all of our sin. It's that new dress that we're to put on. That's different from living in the world as if our sin doesn't matter to standing in Christ saying, "I am a Christian. I live by the principles of my Christian faith in all that I say, all that I do, and all that I think." Well, being renewed in the spirit of your mind means putting on the new self. Allowing God's word to change our minds. Allowing God's word to have an impact on the way we think, not only about the world around us, but we think about ourselves in particular. And God's word is the place where it pulls back and says, "Stop justifying your sin." Well, that can only happen when we trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. That transition can only happen when you look upon the cross of Calvary and realize in your mind that Jesus Christ died in my place to forgive all my sins. For all the times I cling to them old sinful outfits that do me no justice at all, Jesus said, "I take that upon me and I will die for them." Jesus died in your place to clothe you with the robe of Christ's perfect righteousness that covers a multitude of your sins. And because Jesus rose from the dead, we know that the Father has accepted the sacrifice of the Son in your place, and that robe of righteousness through faith is yours. That although your sins are like crimson, they shall be as white as snow. And in spite of all of your sin, in spite of all that you have done, when the Father looks at you through the eyes of His Son, Jesus Christ, He sees His beloved sons and daughters. In fact, He says the same about you as He did about Christ at His transfiguration or baptism, when He says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." With that said, you may get the impression that, well, hey, I like it. I'm a sinner. Pastor assures me of my forgiveness. No big deal. Peace, I'm out. But you see, the reality is that I don't want to give the impression that sin doesn't matter. It has no consequences. Exhibit A, Christ crucified for all that you have done. His blood shed for you. The reality is that there is a consequence for sin. Sin is corruption. Sin is literally death at work. Sin is what drives you and me to the grave. Sin is literally contrary to who you are in Christ. Or some would say, well, Pastor, sin is just natural. No, quite the opposite. Sin for those who are in Christ Jesus, sin is certainly not natural. So Paul urges us to change, to literally put on a new outfit. I always like the ending of the show, What Not to Wear, because the fashion felon will come out in their new outfit that's been picked out by Stacy and Clinton, and it's like a totally different person. Sometimes you hardly even recognize them. And the same thing that God does with you. And as the text goes on, he begins to talk about things like anger. Don't let the sun set on your anger. If you're going to be angry, but do not sin, don't give the devil a stand in your life. Don't allow him presence in your life, because he'll simply continue to build on it. As I continue to read through the text and as I begin to take it to heart, I begin to realize that in my own life, there's things that need to change. There's that old sinful outfit that I just love putting on because it fits so well, and I've worn it for so long, but God says it doesn't become you as a child of God. You know, Luther often reminds us that we are to drown the old Adam. We are to be imitators of Christ. In fact, that's in the last verse for the epistle yesterday. We are to be imitators of Christ. And to be imitators of Christ, we're reminded that we are at the same time saint and sinners. If you want to know the Latin, it's simul usus epicator. We are saint and sinners at the same time. It's like battling with one another until our eyes close in death and we're taken to heaven forever. But until then, you and I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and we live in that constant tension between that old self that wants to have its fun and wants to do its stuff in our life, and the new self we are in Christ, living a whole different life in Him. But this morning, I just want to remind you of who you are. You may look into the mirror and begin to try to justify who you are, but I know who you are in Christ. You are forgiven of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord.